Farmers Insurance knows that when you're in the car and that song comes on. No, not that one. Ah, yes, that's the one. You have no choice but to pull out your imaginary drumsticks and smash those cymbals and stomp on that kick pedal, which unfortunately is also known as the accelerator pedal. And we covered it. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Click for more.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges, and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
I'm Angie Kubicek, and this is the ROI of Y podcast. And today I'm joined with the group of physicians Thrive and my partner in crime, Andrew Tucson.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys, do you want to go ahead and intro yourselves and share a little bit about your company, Physicians Thrive?
Yeah. Justin Nabity with Physicians Thrive, CEO, founder. And we are a consulting group that helps physicians all 50 states with financial planning and investment advisory work. We help them negotiate contracts and
some things are just better done in the dark, like sleeping, sleep talking,
hello polka dots,
sleepwalking. Farming in the dark is not one of those things, but that's exactly what you're doing when you don't ask for the meal and oil levels of the soybeans you produce, because hey, your processor knows, and so do their buyers. Stop farming in the dark. You'll sleep better.
No, it's across it.
A message from the Soy Checkoff. Yeah. Click to find out more.
Now I'm going to the store.
Kind of teeing up where we're going with our conversation, we are in the business of helping clients gain financial vision, which is then fed into how we then will give sight to the blind as a byproduct of the work that we do, which turned us on to the whole B Corp side of things.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah.
Reed Lancaster, I'm the COO, and I'm a partner in Justin's business.
Awesome. And so Physicians Thrive has been around, we were saying, like, how long now? 4 years?
No. Started in 2009, actually.
Nine. Yeah. We've been partners for four years.
Got it. We started the business in 2009.
Very cool. And so then recently, like as of a year-ish ago, you guys became a certified B Corp. For those that don't know what that is, why don't you guys dive into what a B Corp is?
Yeah.
You know, it's something new that is, I think, taking the whole industry by storm in terms of the new era of business. That businesses don't just exist to provide a service or a product. They exist to make a real impact in the community. And so I like the tagline where it says that businesses are used as a force for good. And so it's looking at companies and saying, how are they investing in their people? How are they investing in their community? And what are the ways that they're giving back to make a difference?
Super awesome. And then for you guys have recently kind of developed some technology to help carry that vision through. So something we've learned as we were starting to have conversations with a lot of individuals is having a focal point as you decide to go down this path to purpose has really helped to find clarity for what they're trying to work on, not only as a business, but then how they're going to have that impact outwardly. So what kind of helped you guys define what your purpose was going to be and then develop kind of technology to support that?
It all started actually when I was out running for hours one day after I read a book called Living with a Navy SEAL. And it just clicked that we could use miles and distance as a way to bring awareness to blindness. Blindness is something that I'll be talking about in the conference later on. And the crazy thing is that 80% of blindness is curable.
Wait, 80%?
80% of blindness. There's a cure for blindness. You think about how there's so many problems in the world that cannot be cured. There's all this research going on to fix problems. And it's like, when is that problem ever going to be eradicated or that there's going to be a cure to fix that problem?
Right,
And blindness, 80% of a vision impairment globally is curable.
That's incredible.
And yeah, so, I had no idea.
So,
yeah.
And neither did we, you know, and neither did we until we started looking into it.
Okay.
So when I was out running, I had already been exposed to this idea that this problem exists that is so easily curable with $25 and access to eye care. And so it was like, there's a connection. We're in the business of creating financial vision for people, clients, because they don't have financial backgrounds.
Right.
Most people don't have a financial background unless they are in our industry, right?
Right.
And so if people can get help that they need just by the resources being there and care being provided, we could tee up a way that people gain sight financially and we can give sight globally at the same time. And so while I was running, it was like, this is it. This is the connection. While we are moving our bodies, while we're working out, while we're burning calories, while we're moving and you know, racking up miles, we could use that as a way to say, let's raise money in as a response to the calories being burned to go toward curing blindness. And so you asked about the technology.
Right.
We launched a fitness app where every time you burn 120 calories, we will raise a dollar to go toward eye care.
So it's like Strava, but like for good. Right?
So Strava syncs. So our app pulls data from Strava.
Amazing.
It syncs up with Strava and all the other fitness apps, pulls that data in, and then we will raise money through corporate sponsors and individual sponsors to go toward eye care. So once you burn 3,000 calories, that's enough to raise $25. And that gives somebody a chance at having their life back, being able to give them vision.
That's incredible.
Every 3,000 calories, someone gets their vision back.
So when did you guys launch the app then?
So the app launched last October.
Awesome. And how's growth been? Like, are you guys seeing people, like, is the adoption going well? Like, you got both platforms, iOS, Android?
Yes.
Like,
okay. Yes,
tremendous growth. Actually, our app developer said this is the fastest adopted app that they've ever built.
Wow.
People are jumping on board.
And it's such, like, you tapped into a daily habit. And I think that's where so many app makers go wrong, is they want to do something, but then they're not addressing something people do daily. And even if you're not like a marathon runner, you're walking and you're going around your house. So I think it's so smart that you tapped into something that's fundamentally, we all move at some point.
Right. So, like, so many apps go to market based on assumption and it's not really validated. Right? And that's the key. Like, if you guys can tap into a thing that people are already doing, and then give them a resource to turn it into good.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take that one step further. I love that. You said, give them a resource for something good. So when you work out consistently, there's an emotional journey tagged to that, right? It takes discipline. It takes effort. It takes focus. And to do it for more than a year and then 5 years and then 10 years, you need some motivation, right?
Yeah.
There's some type of, it's an emotional journey. And so we're seeing people post and say, look what I did today. A week and a half and I cured blindness in one person's eye.
Yeah. And that's what I love about your app is it actually will tell you how many people you've been able to impact with your activity. And I think that's so smart.
Right. Yeah.
So engagement's going well then too, right? Okay, cool. So are like, what platforms are you guys leveraging to get this out in front of people? Like, tell me a little bit about like your, it's not go to market because we're obviously there, but like, how are you continuing to tell this story and get it in front of prospective users?
Yeah.
We actually just started. This is brand new in terms of rolling out. It's all been word of mouth, actually, at this point. And so it was a way for our company to say, let's have an opportunity for our people to get engaged with this. And then now we've been rolling it out to other companies to let them offer this up as a wellness program to their employees. So as their employees work out, we're asking the employer to sponsor their employees. And so employees are getting healthy, getting active, getting more engaged, feeling better about themselves, can do more in the workplace, the business will then invest and reward those employees by giving sight to somebody who can't see as a result of their efforts. And so we're having companies look at their existing charitable giving or adding to their charitable giving and using this as a way to get their people bought into it. So it's not just the company stroking a check to something and the employees have no connection to it. Now, employees are like, I'm doing this and I can see that as a whole, us together, we're moving the needle to make an impact with this.
I love that. Like when in our last episode, we were talking to some folks about like actually going and doing the thing, right? Like some organizations just stroke the check and that's great, right? Like if that's the way that you provide impact, like that's amazing.
Love it.
But for like cultural buy-in, right? And for people to actually go do a thing, touch a thing, be a part of a thing.
Yeah.
It has this gnarly cascading ripple effect.
It does.
And it's infectious and amazing to watch. And so I love that that's where you guys are at with this.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Think about how you have these races that are once a year deals and they're for a good cause.
Right.
That's awesome. And people train for them, they get ready for them and they do them. What if you could have a way that you could be doing something philanthropic every single day of the entire year? It's not just a one-time thing for that year. it's happening every single time you work out. And it's not just running or swimming or biking. It's all forms of fitness, because our app developer, Apsky, was a genius. And they said, don't do miles tracked, do calories. So anyway, as long as you can track your calories worked out, then
like Fitbit or Apple Watch or whatever,
your calories will count. Yeah. Fitbit doesn't have the technology to integrate with it quite yet, but Garmin and Apple Health does.
Yep.
There's a whole list of choices on there that you can use.
That's so cool.
That's super cool. And what I love about this concept as well is, and something we've talked about, is this like onus once you're in the certified B Corp world that you have to then try and get your peers to come into this like impact space. And you guys have found a way to have this conversation with people without seeming preachy or forced. And so as you go and talk to people about changing how they're engaging their employees, like what have been the reactions of the partners that you've started to bring on board with this app?
Do you want to hit that?
You go ahead.
It is like the eyes just light up
when you wanted this one.
Because it's like, it's like, holy cow, there's actually a way for people to plug in like this. And we've had to talk to people about it. We can't keep this a secret because we're going for 1 million eyes cured. I mean, and actually 1 million lives. It's going beyond that. It's 1 million people. We're trying to restore sight to 1 million people. And we can't do it alone. We can't be the only group that's sponsoring our employees to be giving philanthropic.
You'll have the fittest team, though.
That's right. So
based on your current growth curve, have you guys like looked at the numbers as to how long it's going to take to have that kind of like amazing impact?
So it's our 10-year plan.
Nice.
And, okay. I mean, you can't see this because you can't see my hand through this recording, but like it's going to be a slow like this, and it's going to be a massive.
It's going to hockey
like
stick.
It's going to be a total hockey stick.
We'll have one of our designers like design a hand doing that, and then we'll link to it in the show notes. It'll be tight. It'll be fine.
It'll be beautiful. I think that's so. As we've talked about, you know, with your group and your organization, so this was an idea that you had prior to becoming a B Corp, right?
Right.
And I think a lot of people that I've been connecting with, I hear about them wanting to do something because of a seal or because of something else. Mm-hmm. But I love that this came first. So talk maybe a little bit about how you had this vision for the impact and then learned that it was a part of this greater group of organizations.
So it started by going in 2016 on a trip with an eye surgeon and a group of volunteers. We traveled 4 hours down to an Indian reservation in southern Utah. These people don't have insurance. They don't have access to eye care. Mm-hmm. This is a one time that they're going to get help. And they are doing eye exams. They're doing. They're seeing nurses. They're just talking to surgeons about getting their eyes checked. And that's when I found out that blindness is a massive problem. If you're not in the eye community, you don't know how big of a deal this is. And I haven't shared this with you yet. Hundreds of millions of people cannot see like we can.
Yeah.
Hundreds, like over 200 million people cannot see that well.
Wow.
And then you take that number times 2 or 3, and we're talking about, you know, massive amounts of people that are suffering because of vision impairment, because families suffer when there's one person in the family that can't see. So it's like, holy cow, this is a huge group of people that if they could be at full capacity, and then I find out that it's a 10-minute procedure for cataract surgery. 10 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
And a person is able to see almost back to 20/20 within 24 hours. And then on top of that, as I mentioned before, it's only $25. When care is volunteered by these surgeons, $25 to cover the cost of supplies. If the only thing that is separating somebody from being able to have their vision restored or stay blind the rest of their life is $25 and access to eye care, that's a problem.
That's a problem. Right.
That's a problem that you can't just let sit and know that information and do nothing about. And so that was a huge spark. And then a year prior to that, I was in Lincoln at a conference and I heard Walgreens talk about their Get a Shot, Give a Shot campaign. Mm-hmm. And they were inspired 4 years prior. 4 years prior or maybe 5 years. By Tom's talking about their, you know, buy a pair, give a pair. Mm-hmm. And so in 2015, you got this kind of back history of all these people being inspired by others that have gone before them. And it was like, we don't do anything with shoes. We don't sell products like that. We're not in healthcare. But there's this huge burden now, which is blindness, curable blindness that we can actually do something about because we can afford $25 per client engagement.
Yeah.
We can do that. Let's adopt that model. Let's do that. So we started adopting that model, making that a part of what we were doing. And then it was like, where are we going to take this? And I had a business coach say to me, you know, what's your goal with this? Like, where are you trying to take this? And then we started talking as a leadership team, and that just turned into this million eyes, then turned into a million lives. And then we're now off the races. We're talking about this. Mm-hmm. We're speaking about it. And then it's like, well, we can't do this by ourselves. This is too big of a mountain for us to climb. We can't handle this ourselves. And that's why the app came into place. And then it was, gosh, I'm not sure when that was. January. When was that trip to Costa Rica? We took a trip. We were with Jay and Tanya from Firespring, and they started talking to us about what B Corps were. And they're like, what you just said, Justin, that is like exactly what a B Corp is all about. You should check that out. So we did. And so, yeah, we already had a ton of stuff that we were doing.
Was that the spark that started the B Corp?
It was.
That conversation
We were in Costa Rica, a hot tub in Costa Rica on a mystery trip. Yeah, we were on this trip where you don't know where you're going or what you're doing. You just show up.
I need to go.
I feel like all good stories should start with, I was in a hot tub in Costa Rica.
On a trip where I didn't know where I was going.
You just show up, you give them your passport, and you say yes to whatever the cost is. You just show up and you go.
Just go do the
They tell you what you're going to be doing. And sure enough, we're sitting over this mountainside, and Jay's like, do you know what a B Corp is? I'm like, I'm in the financial world. We help people set up formal, you know, legal entities. That's a part of our business. I have never heard of a B Corp before. That is strange. Like, how come you're talking to me about this when we're in the LLC world and the S Corp world and all that type of world? It's like, this is something that, and then immediately once we got back, we started working on it. And then sure enough, it was like absolute fit for what we were doing.
That's awesome.
So stop and think about that for a second. We got a couple couples that own businesses that are taking a mystery trip. They don't even know where, some part of the globe. They're in a hot tub.
We didn't know each other that well either.
Complete comfort. Life is good. Now they've earned it. They've worked hard. Life. But there are millions and millions of people who don't have that opportunity in the world.
Yeah.
And to sit and do nothing when something's been sparked in you is just not in Justin and my DNA.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so it's funny because I'm driving to Lincoln, right? And I'll be early. It's going to be a comfortable drive. And I itch my eye and my contact folds over. Do you guys have contacts?
Yeah,
I don't.
I don't want to say I'm blind without them, but I am.
Yes.
Really, really poor eyesight without
them. So no driving. Driving wouldn't be good, right?
Oh, no, I'd crash immediately.
Me too. So my contact falls out, right? It falls on my leg. So I grab it and I'm like trying to put it in. I'm like, I got this. This happens all the time. Well, my window's down and it blows and it goes in between the crack. So I have. That's why I got
so
here.
You just pirate eye the rest of the drive.
That's exactly what I did. Pirate eyed my way back home to get a contact. Turn right back around. I thought about it for a second. I need to tell everybody today I drove home to get vision. Right.
Right.
Because most people in the world, there's no chance. That's not happening. And so when we started talking about this, it was just a gratitude thing of, man, let's try our hardest to not take all this stuff. We got a bottles of water in front of us. We went to Africa. They had to walk 3 to 5 miles there and back to get water. Right. So,
and then if you can't see, right?
Exactly. It makes things difficult. And so if we can make an impact, people who are going on nice vacations like that, let's feel good. And we work hard to go on those vacations. We're going to continue to do that, but we're not going to help the people who can't help themselves.
Right. That's amazing. So before my next question, I do got to tip the proverbial hat to this guy right here. Before you came in, I offered him a water. And I was like, but I got grape Kool-Aid. And this guy like demonstrated the most self-control I think I've ever seen. Like a grown man. Like I could tell you wanted the grape Kool-Aid.
So bad.
So you're like,
I grew up on grape Kool-Aid.
I'll take a water.
That's like in my veins permanently. But you know what? Let's just do a water
so like,
for now.
Just a well water. Played.
Thanks, dude.
That's important stuff. So my question, though, my goal for today is just to work grape Kool-Aid into every one of our interviews.
Keep it coming.
Check the box.
I think it was the most like unexpected thing in the speaker bag. So we are here. I don't think we've touched on it. We're at the Do More Good conference where we're literally meeting with people across the country to talk about how to be impact focused. And so... And it is centered here in Lincoln, Nebraska. So when there's out-of-state speakers, you got to show them all the Nebraska things, and Kool-Aid has to be in the
kit.
Right.
Right. So, that's right.
Right. Yeah. It's important.
Yeah.
So Kool-Aid aside, though, one thing that I always find fascinating is like you guys, you have Physicians Thrive. You have like your ethos. You have your mission and why you exist and why you're doing all of the amazing things that you're doing in the world. But I want to dig into like what motivates each one of you, right? Like what makes you get up every day? What drives you to have this need to change the world and make it a better place? Because that's different for everybody, right? And you ask Jay that question, you're going to get a different answer than if you ask Angie, then it, right? So I always find that super fascinating. So whichever one of you wants to take that one first, there's a grape Kool-Aid in it for you. And then
I'm pulling back emotion right now because, you know, I like to weave this part of the story into every engagement, whether it be a fundraiser or just talking about GiveSight Global that we do. You know, we had a speaking engagement, I think it was last Friday, and the moderator was getting ready to start. And I said, hey, can I just get the microphone real quick? I just want to talk about briefly my story, how we became partners and what it means to leverage the challenges that you went through up until this point. And so I grew up and I had a, it was a tough upbringing. And I just, you know, I just said, when I'm on my own, I'm going to live every day to the absolute fullest, to the absolute fullest. And when you have time to think and you get that opportunity, finally, you're so motivated to make it happen. And as a young person, you don't really understand, man, you can make a lot of things happen.
Right.
Right.
And then those things happen. And then you think, wow, I'm just me focused. I'm me centered. Everything is about me, me, me. And so things are, it's not as filling, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So I grew up, I have five brothers. We grew up in a challenging situation and I just had a heart to love on them. Mm-hmm. God gave me an awareness to say, hey, it's not about you. Not everything's about you. And that just gave me so much peace. And so I've been doing little things for the community and for individuals my whole life because God's given me some gifts to be able to take care of my family, take care of myself. And that isn't the number one challenge in my life. Mm-hmm. And so fast forward to meeting Justin. Wow. I to that point, I'd never met anybody who was as focused as me. I don't want to go into the work hard thing because a lot of people work hard. I feel like I work pretty hard. I meet Justin and man, the guy's running circles around me. And I'm just like, he's running circles around me for other people. And not long after that is when the GiveSight Global came about. Mm-hmm. And it's been one after another idea that will come. We actually have a grander vision then GiveSight Global. This is how we're starting that grand vision.
So this is like laddering you up to bigger thing.
Awesome. That's right.
It's amazing.
Yep.
What about you? Lay it on me.
So mine, I would say, started in 2007 when I watched a movie called Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. And what most people don't know is that song was written by a slave ship captain.
Yep.
And that captain became the mentor to a guy by the name of William Wilberforce. And Wilberforce went on to become the, I believe, the most influential figure ever in history to end slavery, to change the culture in Great Britain, which spilled over into the United States. It spilled over to Africa and India and Haiti. And here's a guy that he was all about social justice and sticking up for the underdog and making sure that people and human life was valued and that the dignity of life was protected. And he goes 20 years fighting to end slavery. And then he almost gives up because it's a battle, it's a fight. Mm-hmm. And then his mentor, the author of Amazing Grace, John Newton, said, you cannot abandon this. You have to stay with it, stay in this fight and get after it. And so he does stay with it. And 20 more years go by, and they eventually, in 1833, they abolish slavery of all kinds. Because in 1807, they ended slavery for the trade of it, but like there were still slaves owned. You know, human beings were owning other human beings. You didn't have rights. And in 1833, it was completely ended. And here's a guy that almost died multiple times because of ulcerative colitis. He was on drugs to keep the pain under control, and he gave absolutely everything of himself to try to help people.
To change the world.
To change the world.
Yeah.
And I've never seen any other individual do as much as he has done. And it's like, man, life is a gift. It is amazing grace.
Yeah.
I once was lost and now I'm found. I once was blind and now I see.
Yeah.
Life is a gift.
Yeah.
Every breath we have should not be wasted. And let's make it count. And the way that we make it count is measured in the impact and the help that we give other people. Because Reed always likes to say, we're not here to pay bills and die.
Right.
And I love the way that sounds. He says it a lot. And most people are living their life, and that's just kind of how it is. And there's just so much more to that, to life than this. And so that's been a huge inspiration to me. My faith goes back even farther than that. And that was like a reinvigoration for me in my faith in 2007 when I found out about that. It's incredible to go this far into my life and not know anything about history like that, and then to be hit by it. And now it's like we have the ability to impact blindness. Blindness is a form of slavery.
Yeah.
You're a slave to the dark. And so like our thing is like, we want to make sure that no one lives in darkness. If you're blind, you are a slave to darkness. Wilberforce was all about ending slavery of being slave to somebody else. And so we want to be able to relive what happened back then in terms of that with this. And so that's kind of been a huge, you know, motivator for us.
That's amazing.
There's two types of people in the world. The first one, that person lives for themselves. And the second type of person, they live for other people. And the latter is so much more fulfilling. And that might sound cliche, but, you know, when you're self-focused, man, we're all so flawed and miserable. And, you know, when you start working to give other people life, oh, it's just a different life. It's a different feeling. I wake up every morning and I try to picture myself on my deathbed. And the only way to go to bed at night, I tap a sign that says, earn your sleep. Have I earned my sleep? Have I respected the oxygen in my lungs? And I'm just looking at this little necklace here that says, do more good. I think William Wilberforce would be really, really happy that we were here. I mean, talk about a guy who did more good than maybe anybody in human history. And so to follow in his footsteps in terms of just being inspired by him is, I really feel like we're on the right path here.
I think more people could take a page from that playbook too, though, right? Like starting your day by imagining you on your deathbed, like it's a very Buddhist way of looking at the world, right? And there's a lot of meditation out there that like you are supposed to think through. Today could potentially be the day that I die, right? Like, and none of us ever
know.
Memento
mori, dude.
Right.
Memento mori. So my wife bought me a coin last year and I carry it with me. And it just reminds me that you could be taken from this earth at any moment.
Yep. And you never know, right? Like we could get done with this episode and I could go outside and get smoked by a bus.
Dude,
I'm not really walking the street now.
I lost my contact. And so full disclosure, I had to drive 100 miles and I FaceTimed him. I'm like, dude, I'll be there at 25. I'm going 100 right now.
So you FaceTimed one eye.
Don't die.
No, that one eyed pirate 100 miles an hour.
Right. If I die on my way to this Do More Good conference, I'm okay with that. Right. Really, genuinely, I feel that way.
But think about like the difference that the world like would experience if more people started their day that way. Because if you really think about like, okay, today could be it. The little crap that we get spun up about, right? The little things that just like get under your skin and eat at you, and you make a big deal and you dwell on them. Like, none of that matters.
Yep. It doesn't.
Right.
It's I don't know. I really like it. It's a beautiful way to look at the world.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate that. If someone says have the right perspective, that's in one ear and out the other.
Right.
So this is the best way. This is my best attempt at explaining that so people can feel it. You know, people don't remember what you said to them or what you did for them. Mm-hmm. They remember how you made them feel. And so, you know, when we're on top of a mountain in Tanzania and a 102-year-old man is looking at Justin, and life has been given back to him, he says, so we just give him, the doctors just gave him vision, right? And we're there to be a part of it. How lucky are we? He says,
yeah, that happened. That actually happened.
So hold on. This dude is blind.
This dude,
102.
And the first thing he sees is like the mountains.
And it was beautiful, dude. It was unreal.
Well,
but the first thing he says, so go ahead, Justin. You want to hop in? This was your experience.
I was more of a story than that.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, the guy was singing to us. He was singing, Amen, Hallelujah, Amen, Hallelujah. He was singing to us when he got his eyes back. He was 97 years old when he went blind. And his biggest frustration was that he couldn't work anymore at 97.
Can you even imagine that, though? 97.
He's 97. Right?
And like how much we take it for granted that we open our eyeballs and we see all the things. And then all of a sudden, just nothing?
Yep.
Yeah. So he was, as you go through these eye clinics, sometimes you get somebody who has no vision at all and they're both their eyes, and they call it BAS, which stands for blind as, I won't say the real word there, but.
Do you see who I work with? You can absolutely.
He already dropped an F-bomb. We're squared away.
I know.
Not on the show. No. I will give you a copy of my book. It does have an F-bomb in the title. It sets the stage for...
So he can't see at all, and he's celebrating now that he's 102 and he can go back to doing his daily whatever he does to do his thing at 102. And
God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, we're so focused at 65 in America, we get to retire. That is poison to my brain to think that way.
Yeah.
You know, one of the greatest things in my life is my relationship with Justin. We, you know, Proverbs 27:17 says that iron sharpens iron, as does one man unto another. And I would rather be dead right now than live life to the fullest. And one thing that Justin and I will never do is retire. Mm-hmm. When the grave calls us, that's our retirement.
Right.
And to hear a guy say at 102 years old, you gave me vision back, I can now go back to work. Talk about feeling like you're in the right spot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When in that moment I said, man, I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
Do you think that whole like 65 time stamp and everybody's just like doing the thing so that until they can retire, is that like the norm? Because so many people are just punching the like purpose clock.
Yeah, boy,
and if more organizations were just like pushing and killing the impact space.
Oh, yeah.
The lack of perfect.
Why would they want to leave?
Exactly.
Why would they want to unplug?
Or knowing that you did something, right? I think that's the thing that's always the biggest is just that people go home and unfulfilled and it's depressing.
Right.
But it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a big challenge and it's a big call to arms. There's, I think, nearly 750,000 new businesses popping up every year in the United States alone. And there's only 8,000 on the path to purpose as of today, and only 2,600 of those 8,000 are actually certified B Corps. And so that's because they've passed the accountability, transparency, and blanking on the third one, but there's a third measure there. And so that's just so much opportunity for us to like, if everyone picked a purpose and started to row towards that, it would just fundamentally change the way our society is built today.
Yes,
which
it would.
Is just...
I mean, it would just help, I think, get things back on the rails, right? Like there's no way, you can't turn a corner, whether you're talking news, social media, just any place, and see how bonkers it is out there right now. And if more people could make the commitment to trying to have impact and or provide impact and make the world a better place and like... use technology like you two dudes did to do more things that are incredible, I think it'd be a different landscape.
That's right.
I do.
Well, I'm super excited to see where the app goes. We never actually said the name of it, so why don't you do a little push for it?
It's called Give Sight. It's available on the Apple and Android stores.
So everyone
Google
should download it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Connect
free.
It. Everyone send a note to Fitbit to tell them to open up that API,
right?
That's always a struggle for everybody. So that'd be, I mean... Because you actually will see the number of lives that you're affecting every time you go work out and do the activity. So thank you guys so much for joining us. This was a really just, I don't know, motivating. I feel a little like lighter and excited.
I
wish that my Fitbit would connect in because I'm like, I'm going to go walk now. I want to do the thing.
We'll get it there. We'll tweet it then. It'll be fine.
Yeah. They're going to be like, clearly Angie Coob cares. So we'll do it. So it'll be awesome.
Yeah,
well,
thank you guys.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
All right. Great.
Insurance knows that when you're in the car and that song comes on, no, not that one. Ah, yes, that's the one. You have no choice but to pull out your imaginary drumsticks and smash those cymbals and stomp on that kick pedal, which unfortunately is also known as the accelerator pedal. And we covered it. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Click for more.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
My name is Ella, and I make Ella Bella Beads bracelets.
Ella's bracelets raise money for the Children's Hunger Project.
They're really pretty.
At American Family Insurance, we believe you're never too young to have a dream. So today, we're supporting Ella's.
My dream is to sell a gazillion bracelets so that no kids are hungry.
Every dream deserves a champion. Find your dream champion at AmFam.com. American Family Insurance.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.